Our second scripture reading comes from 1 John, another great love passage. 1 John chapter 3, we'll read the first three verses. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Amen. Now, I would normally never say this in a church, but if you have your Bible open, please close it. Tonight, we're going to experience what the persecuted brothers around the world experience when they gather together for worship, especially in those places where owning a Bible is illegal. Now, how do you suppose you have a worship service if you don't have access to the Bible, or if it's taken away from you, let alone a sermon? Well, the authorities can come and take our Bibles from our hands, but they can never take away the Word of God stored up in our minds and treasured up in our hearts. So what would normally happen is someone who has access to a Bible or parts of the Bible would memorize a piece of scripture and bring it with him to share with the rest of the church. Well, friends, I have brought a piece of scripture with me to share with you tonight. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And my hope and prayer for us tonight is by the time when we leave this building, we have this piece of scripture, Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, stored up in our minds and treasured up in our hearts. So here's the plan for the rest of the evening. And your participation is crucial, especially you, children and young people. Right now and throughout the sermon, I'm going to recite Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 from memory, phrase by phrase. And please repeat after me as I do so. Can you do that? Okay, I'll take that as yes. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Please repeat after me the word of the Lord. Therefore, be imitators of God. As beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Good job. Amen. All right, let's ask for God's blessing on his word. Abba, Father, this word is so precious. Forgive us for all those times when we take it for granted that we have your very word in our hands. But may tonight be an occasion and an opportunity for us to treasure your word, because your word points to the person and work of Jesus Christ and him we love so dearly. We pray this in his name. Amen. When I was in middle school, this was back in South Korea, that's where I'm from, there was this guy in my class, and he was a great dancer. Now, this guy was so good at dancing that whenever he danced, no matter where he was, a crowd would instantly form to watch him do his thing. And his signature move at that time was Michael Jackson's The Moonwalk. Now, does everyone know what The Moonwalk is? Okay, because if you don't, I'm not going to show you how it's done. I'm just going to assume that you know what the moonwalk is. So the crowd would start shouting to him, "Do the moonwalk, do the moonwalk." And he would do the moonwalk. And sometimes when he felt extra generous with his time, he would show us how it is to be done. He would break it down for us step by step. And more brave ones among us would start forming groups, imitating him and practicing the moonwalk together. Now, something like that is going on in today's passage. Now, let me remind you what today's passage is. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, of course, Apostle Paul is not calling us to do the moonwalk, but he is calling us to walk in love. Or you could say he's shouting to us, do the love walk. Do the love walk. And in this passage, he breaks it down for us how the love walk is to be done. Three steps. And that's what I want to briefly meditate on with you tonight. How to do the love walk. Three steps. First, the practice of love. Second, the pattern of love. And third, the power for love. Again, the practice of love, the pattern of love, and the power for love. Now, at this point, let's remind ourselves of today's passage once more, shall we? Please repeat after me. Therefore, be imitators of God, as beloved children, and walk in love. Now, what Paul is calling us to do sounds rather simple. He says, be imitators of God. Now, what does it mean to imitate someone? It means you are watching someone very closely. Every single move this person is making, every single, facial expression, twitch of a muscle, you're watching intently what this person is doing, and you're trying to do exactly what he or she is doing, how that person is doing. You are trying to copy him or her, or imitate him or her, or mimic him or her. So Paul says, be imitators of God. Watch God closely and do exactly what he does, how he does it. Now, we run into a problem right away, don't we? Because there are some things that only God can do that we cannot do. I mean, God is an infinite creator. He's not confined by time and space. But we are finite creatures. So, for example, God is omnipresent. It's a fancy word, just means God is everywhere. He can do that because he's an infinite creator. But we have physical bodies with definite dimensions and shape. So we can't be in two different places at the same time as God can. So when Paul says, be imitators of God, he cannot mean that we are to do exactly what God does in every respect. Now, can Paul be more specific than that? Yes, he can, and he does get more specific. He says, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. He explains what he means by be imitators of God by saying, walk in love. Look at our God. He is love. Look at him walking in love. Did you catch that? Did you see that? All right, now you go and walk in love. That's what Paul is saying. But here's what's interesting about how Paul is saying it. Because Paul could have said, just love one another, right? He could have said, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, love one another. But why the metaphor of walking in love? But friends, I think Paul is doing something very intentional. He deliberately chose this metaphor of walking to tell us something about the nature of this love. So now, watch. I'm not going to do the moonwalk, but I'm going to walk. I'm walking. There is nothing extraordinary about walking, right? There's nothing spectacular, no fireworks. I'm just putting one foot after another, and there, I'm walking. Now, it would be very different if I am jumping or running. It takes more conscious effort to do something like that, right? My mind has to be alert. My muscles have to tense up. My body needs to get ready. And then I run or I jump. But when I walk, at least for most of us, it doesn't take much conscious effort to do that. Now, Paul says, walk in love. Walk in love. I think what he's getting at there by not just saying love one another, but saying walk in love, this. He is saying for Christians, love must be as natural as walking is. Let me say that again. Love must be as natural as walking is to Christians. Now, this is convicting. Paul is asking us tonight, and really the Holy Spirit is asking us, every single one of us in this room tonight, do you walk in love? Or do you run in love? Or jump in love? Here's the difference. I'm sure you can think of someone in your life, maybe in your family, maybe at your school or workplace. You know that someone, how do I put it? Someone who is difficult to love. So you're in a room with your coworkers in a break room, and you see this person walking into this room, and you say, uh-oh, all right, so-and-so is here. Or it's a family gathering during the holiday season, and so-and-so walks in through the door, and then you say, uh-oh, so-and-so's here. And then you say, for this time, for this place, for this occasion, I'm just going to muster up every ounce of love that I have and just love this person hard. Just for a definite period of time, I'm just going to do that. Now, that would be running in love or jumping in love. Now, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that, per se. Sometimes it's necessary, especially for family gatherings during the holiday seasons. But that's not walking in love. Paul is saying Christian love must be as natural as walking is. It's not just for this time, for this occasion, for this purpose, I'm going to love this person and try to keep my smile. But Christian love is like walking. It's a one foot after another, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, decade in, decade out, kind of consistent love. So friends, let me ask you again, do you have a track record of consistent love? If you were to ask your coworker or your family member, be it your spouse or your child, would he or she say, yes, you are a loving person? If you were to ask your classmates or clients or customer or colleague, would he or she say, yes, so-and-so is the kind of person who walks in love? And as if that is not hard enough, Paul now takes this command to the next level in showing us the pattern of love. Let's remind ourselves again of today's passage, shall we? Please repeat after me. Therefore, be imitators of God, as beloved children, and walk in love. As Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Thank you. Now, God doesn't just talk about walking in love, but he actually showed us himself walking in love in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And isn't that what Christmas is all about? We think about Jesus coming into this world. We think about the birth of Jesus Christ all the way to the crucifixion. All we see is in every single footstep that Jesus had, love just oozed out of it. Every thought Jesus thought, every feeling Jesus felt, every attitude Jesus had, every action Jesus took, every word Jesus spoke, everything was infused with love. In fact, when life squeezed Jesus, when death squeezed Jesus, what leaked out of Jesus was love. So as we heard this morning, we heard about the Word came and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. Jesus came and dwelt among us and walked in love. But even that is only the half the statement. Maybe it's more accurate to say love walked among us. Love incarnate walked among us. It's as if Jesus has done the love walk and he turns around and says, all right, it's your turn. Go do likewise. Now, this creates a problem. It creates a problem for me, and it creates a problem for you. Why? Because if you're like me, to be honest with you, it is so hard to walk in love. Running in love, jumping in love, I can do that. But walking in love, that is very hard. And sometimes even taking one little step in walking in love takes just strenuous effort on my part to do that. And now Paul is saying, be imitators of God, walk in love as Christ loved us. Now, what gets in the way of walking in love? I'm sure there are a million different reasons why we fail to walk in love, but I think we can boil it all down to two: pride and fear. Now, for some of us, pride prevents us from walking in love. You know, there's this person in our life, and we're trying to love this person, we're pouring our life into this person, we're trying to care for this person, and then what happens? This person says something or does something, and then we say, did you hear what he said? Did you see what she did? After everything that I've done for him, after everything I've done for her, is this the thanks I get? You know what? This person doesn't deserve my love. So pride, in this way, prevents us from walking in love. But for others of us, it's the fear that paralyzes us from walking in love. Again, here's this person in our life, and we're trying to love this person, we're trying to pour our life into this person, we care for this person, but it seems like all we get in return is a world of hurt. Now, how do you go on? How do you keep on loving this person when it hurts so much? So we are paralyzed with fear, and we close our hearts. So in this way, fear paralyzes us from walking in love. So pride gets in the way, and fear gets in the way, and if you're like me, A lot of times I go back and forth between pride and fear, even on one single day. So this is our predicament, friend. We are on a stage, and God is the judge. And Paul, and Jesus has just finished his love walk, and Paul is pointing at Jesus and shouting to us, "Do the love walk! Do the love walk!" But we can't. We're having a stage fright. Our mind is drawing a blank. We can't move a muscle. So where do we get the power to walk in love? Where do we get the power to overcome pride, overcome fear, and finally be free to walk in love as Christ loved us? Well, that takes us to the third and last step, the power for love. Let's remind ourselves of today's passage one more time. Please repeat after me. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. As Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Thank you, friends. If Jesus was just an example, then his example would absolutely crush us. You know, around this time of the year, we hear people say, "Hey, look at Jesus, the teacher of love. Just look at the way Jesus loved." You know what? You know what the world needs the most? We should all love like Jesus. That will solve the problems in the world. Now, yes? No? I think I agree with that. But if we need more of Jesus, it's not just an example. But we need Jesus as more than an example, more than a pattern. You know, if Jesus is simply an example for us, then he can't do us much good. It's like holding up a map. You know, the map tells you where you need to be, your destination, and where you are, which is far away from the destination, and maybe we're veering off the path. But the map itself won't give you the strength you need each day to put one foot after another to get to your destination. If Jesus is just an example, if Jesus is just a pattern of love, then there is no hope for you. There is no hope for us. But here's the good news, friends. If Jesus is a living person who not only offers us an example of love, a pattern of love, but a power for love, then you and I have hope. Then we can begin to walk in love. In today's passage, what did Paul call Jesus at the end? He calls Jesus a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You know, Jesus didn't just come to do the love walk while he was on the earth and then sat down and said, "All right, it's your turn. Do the love walk. Let me see how well you do it. Let me see if you deserve a seat next to me. Let me see if you can do the love walk as well as I do." No. That's not what Jesus did. And that's not how Jesus was. Rather, Jesus came to the earth to do the love walk in our footsteps, in all the places that we fail to walk in love. Jesus walked in love for us. And no matter how many failures we have had, no matter how many times we've stumbled in walking in love, Jesus had taken all of that upon himself and offered himself on the cross as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And Paul says the offering was fragrant. Jesus smelled good to God. It's as if Jesus has done the love walk, and the Father, seeing Jesus, delighted in his love walk, saying, "Jesus, my son, that was the best love walk, perfect love walk I have ever seen. But I see that you've done the love walk on behalf of our people, on behalf of our children. In all the places, Israel, in all the places, the church, in all the places you and I have failed to walk in love, Jesus faithfully retraced the steps in walking in love all the way to the cross. And Father delighted in Jesus' offering. The Father was pleased with Jesus' sacrifice. And he promised to the Son, "Whoever believes in you, I will take your love walk as if they themselves have done it." Friends, if you believe this tonight, it changes everything. It absolutely changes everything. And this is what I mean. If you believe that Jesus was only an example, then God is the judge. And you're on a stage. You are a contestant. And you are given one lifetime to do the love walk, the very best love walk that you can do. And after you die, God the judge will either give you either O or X, pass or fail, heaven or hell. But if you believe that Jesus was more than an example, more than a pattern, but that he was a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God for you, then you know what? God is no longer judge, but he is your Father. You are no longer on a stage, but you are brought home in a living room, fully embraced and accepted by the Father. You are no longer contestants, nervously performing the love walk to see if you measure up. No, you are beloved children. And the Father dotes on you. And the Father delights in you. And the Father is pleased with you, all because of Jesus. Do you see how this changes everything? You know, this was powerfully brought home when I had a child of my own. The Lord has blessed Jesselyn and me with two children. Chaylin is 3 years old, our oldest, and then youngest Zion is 9 months old. And when Chaylin started walking, of course, you know, this is her first time trying to walk, so she's not going to get it perfectly. So she would stand and kind of unsure, but do I want to do this? You know, do I have what it takes to get this? And she's kind of wobbly, you know, her body's shaking. And then she takes one tiny step. And then she falls. Now, I'm watching this as a father. And when I saw her stumble, do you think I got angry? Do you think I berate her? Do you think I humiliated her? Saying, "Hey, walking is so easy. It's so natural. How can't you get this right the first time?" No. As I was watching my daughter taking steps, first steps, I was on the edge of my seat. I was saying, "Jesselyn, come, bring your camera. She's walking. She's walking. I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of her." And friends, don't you see? This is how God the Father relates to you when you attempt to walk in love. I know holiday seasons can be stressful for some of us. It can be difficult for others of us. And there are many opportunities for us to practice walking in love. When you turn a soft answer to an angry toddler, there's tensions in your marriage, and then you say sorry first to your spouse. When you refuse to retaliate when your coworker says something false about you, when you refuse to hold grudge against someone, but release that debt in your mind. In all these tiny steps in walking in love, God the Father delights in you, like I was delighting in Chaelin, taking steps in walk. And when you stumble and fall, God the Father is there to catch you, to pick you up, and to say, we can do this again. I love you as your Father. My Son died for you on the cross. The Holy Spirit rests upon you. I have given you my word as a guide, and I have given you my people, the church, to encourage you along the way. You have everything you need to walk in love. So friends, as we go from here, no matter how imperfect our walk in love is going to be this week, this season, let's take a step in full confidence that God the Father sees us as his beloved children because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. Let's recite today's passage one more time, and then we'll go to a time of prayer. Please repeat after me. Therefore, be imitators of God, as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Amen. Let's pray. Abba, Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that he offered himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to you, that we are no longer walking in love in fear, in pride. There is no room for either of them, but we are now free to walk in love, even as Christ walked in love toward us. Thank you for walking in love toward us even tonight in bringing your word to us. May it be stored up in our minds and treasured up in our hearts, and help us, enable us by your Spirit even this week to walk in love and be imitators of you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.